welcome to PopC. My name is Carolina Flores, and I'm the resident philosopher. I'm talking to...
My name is Beth Evans. I'm the visiting person.
Hi, Beth. When you look at art or consume art in other forms, what are you looking for?
I think I'm mainly looking for something outside of everyday life.
So you're looking for something that's surprising. Are you looking to learn or to change the way you think or just for experiences?
No, I think it's mainly just for the pleasure of the experience.
Do you have any particularly memorable ones that you'd like to talk about?
I like performance art a lot. And I remember when, before 9/11, the Brooklyn Bridge Anchorage was open to the public. And Creative Times used to have performances there. And I just really like the setting. Yeah, so I like, I guess, striking settings for art. I like performance art because of the feeling of the moment. I think I'm less interested in two-dimensional art, you know, paintings. Tend to prefer sculpture. I like art that allows you to become... you know, in the environment with it.
Do you find that when you experience performance art or art that's in a specific setting, do you think that reconfigures how you relate to the space around you? Do you notice things differently? Do you move through space differently?
Yeah, I think it does, because I think it then transfers to when you're outside back in ordinary space and you can start to see how the things that are just sort of existing in ordinary space sort of can be viewed as objects, art objects in their own setting. So the ordinary things can become objects of art.
Great. So it does sound like, in part, you are looking for a change in how you're thinking when you engage with art. So you're, in part, you're looking for a change in your patterns of attention and you're looking for change in what's salient to you and the possibilities that objects in your environment have. Does that seem accurate?
Yeah, that's really well put. Thank you.
So let's go back to the Brooklyn Bridge case. Could you say some more about the art piece and how it affected you at the time?
Yeah, well, I think it was very dramatic. I mean, there were a lot of dance elements to it, but making use of the space, so... There's a lot of like sort of swinging off of walls and that type of thing. I think it also stays special for me because it was quite a long time ago and the city has changed a lot since then. And there are a lot of spaces that were once accessible that aren't accessible anymore because of tightening security. So I think I'll probably always remember it because, you know, it was happening at a time when so many more spaces were able to be used. And it was such an unusual space, the Anchorage, you know, and it's vast and it's cave-like, you know.
Yeah, that sounds super striking. So are you like a city person? Do you find that part of what you like about art is, in particular, changing your relationship to the city?
Yeah, I think I like, particularly living in New York, that there are so many interesting spaces that can be used for art. I mean, I'm a lot less interested in going into, say, like a traditional museum, something like the Met. You know, museums that are so vast and that you can't possibly see everything in there anyway, and kind of makes you wonder why they're so huge. You know?
Yeah, I definitely feel the same way as you do about these giant museums. Do you want to say some more about why you think you find sort of traditional, kind of more sedate art not as interesting? What do you think it's lacking?
I think it just sort of feels very locked in time. I guess the reason I like performance art a lot is that it's very likely it's not the same every time it's seen. I was just listening. Oh, I think it was on Being, Krista Tippett's radio show I heard this morning. The guest she had on was quoting a philosopher who said the same man cannot step in the same river ever because the water changes and the man changes. And I think you know, maybe I'm just an agitated person and I always need change, but I think I like things that feel like they're spontaneous and happening. And paintings, you know, the old paintings on the wall just feel very set in time and place. You know, I'm not saying they're not beautiful and they're not sort of a nice kind of insight into a period, but they just seem very locked in place.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're really looking for from art, more than sort of traditional like beauty mm-hmm. or other kinds of aesthetic properties, is something more like dynamic and something that really forces you to re-engage with like the here and now. It also right. just sounds like, and I kind of relate to this, it sounds like you're interested in just things that are sort of deeply engaging and like emotionally affecting and sort
sure,
of
definitely.
Affect a yeah. kind of shift in your perspective.
Right, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, one thing that's interesting is how much the art we enjoy, I think, says about our personality and our kinds of values. Do you think that's true of you? Do you see that as, do you see a relationship there?
Yeah, it probably does. And I mean, I've never played a game of matching people I know to the kind of art they like, but yeah, I mean, it's most likely very true.
Okay. Yeah. Have there been other recent performances that you particularly enjoyed and that you think really capture what's going on right now?
I have to say I don't get out a lot much. No, I think I really got out a lot to things when my kids were young because I was really anxious, not anxious, but I wanted to expose them to a lot of things. And now that they're pretty much on their own, I don't go out as much because it's as though if I don't have someone to show it to and share it with, I'm not as eager to get up and go.
Yeah.
I mean, like I came here today because I know Dina from work. So, you know, I think if there's like an extra special element to it, but if it's just something I hear about, I really have to push myself to go. So it's probably a process of aging, you know, maybe for me being a little less out and about.
I think something you said was really interesting, which is the aspect of art that's got to do with joint attention. It's not just you looking at something. It's
oh, yeah, yeah.
you looking at something with someone else. And
right.
this is sort of a kind of shared experience and the
Definitely.
Conversations that can come from that being often like really insightful and a way of like building connection.
I think that was something I did see pretty recently, though, come to think of it.
Great.
So I was at the Brooklyn Museum, and I'm trying to remember why I was there.
It's a great museum.
I think I was there because, oh yeah, we had visitors from out of town. And they had like a little corner with a few Ruth Bader Ginsburg-related pieces. And there was a painting, you know, it's like a traditional painting. There was a three-dimensional object. You know, as much as I liked it, I can't even remember it all that well, but I do remember getting like really excited by it because of its relevance and its, you know, currency and, you know, was so kind of, well, I'm like swimming in political information all day long and seeing like a hero, you know, depicted in a like really interesting way. So it was, it was something I really appreciated. But I think actually come to think of it, so take something like Instagram now, all right? Because I think people are treating that as a sort of gallery. So I work in a library and we started a jigsaw puzzle during intercession and I made an Instagram account for the puzzle and I was taking all these fancy shots. And so here's art that I guess I was creating and I was... I think what I started out thinking about it was I wanted to give this inanimate object a personality, a space, you know, so like it had its own Instagram account, you know, and now, you know, based on something my son told me about how I could have improved it, I want to do like a little animation around it. I hadn't put any hashtags and he told me no one's going to find you. And so I said, well, can I go back? He said, no, that means you're thirsty. You know, he uses language I don't even use. And I was thinking, okay, I don't want to appear thirsty. And then I said, hell with it. I could be thirsty. And then I thought of this animation, you know, with like an Instagram icon talking to the puzzle with little clouds over their head, you know, saying, you look thirsty. And the puzzle's saying, well, it's a desert. I have to drink, you know, I'm something. So like kind of the idea of like being more autistic myself based on what seems to be a kind of very current art gallery. Instagram.
Yeah. What's the handle for your Instagram?
Oh, it's at BC Library Jigsaw Puzzle. It's like a big mouthful, but it's pretty specific.
Great. If people want to check it out, they should do so.
Absolutely.
So one thing with Instagram that seems to match your preferences is the way in which it's very, both very current and not very permanent.
Right,
people
right.
are usually scrolling down for things that were just produced and that are responding
right.
to like things that have happened recently or to recent cultural phenomena.
Right.
And in turn, I think this can be really powerful in then reshaping how we engage with the events that come next, which I think is kind of similar to what happens when we're engaging with performance art.
Mm-hmm.
And it also sounds like it's kind of reflected in the fact that you enjoyed this Ruth Bader Ginsburg portrait so much. Do you think it made you see her in a different way, or do you think it made you sort of understand the big flurry of political events going on all at once in a more focused way? Do you think it kind of shifted your political understanding?
Well, I think what was particularly striking for me, like taking a sort of almost local girl pride in her, because the information piece about her talks about how she'd grown up. She actually grew up in the area where I live, and she went to high school in what's my neighborhood high school. And so she's like a real person, even though, you know, she's like larger than life in her role. And, you know, she's certainly larger than life in this big bust that was made of her for the art exhibit. And so even though there's so much about her that's certainly larger than life, the narrative about her on the wall just kind of was, and because we had out-of-town visitors with us, it was just sort of like an emphasis on like, well, she just started out as a girl in Brooklyn, you know, and so you sort of feel like a human connection to the subject, even though, you know, I have no connection with her professionally and, you know, no connection with her, you know, personally. I just felt like a little bit of ownership. And here she was back at the Brooklyn Museum, you know, where they said on the text she went as a child, you know, like I took my kids there. And I'm sure my parents took me there, you know.
So it sounds like a thing that was really important was this humanizing aspect
yeah,
of a figure
was.
That seems really larger than life.
That's true. And I noticed that, too, about like a lot of the, because they have a lot of the paintings from the colonial American period. And, you know, there's something kind of fascinating to me. Like they'll show a picture of a little girl and they'll say whose daughter she was. And it's sort of like, obviously, from that time period, if she was having her painting done, she was, you know, the child of a wealthy, you know, important family from that period. And yet she was really just a child, you know, she and the father who had the painting done was just, this is my daughter, you know. So it's sort of, even though his name would be attached to all kinds of political history of the country or economic history of the country, the fact that, you know, he had his daughter's painting made sort of humanized him. And so it's, you know, it's the sort of art I kind of walk through more quickly, but I kind of do sort of see the, like, well, these are just people, you know, it's this guy's daughter.
One thing that's interesting about that is that I think people who had these paintings made often had the opposite intention from becoming more humanized. So their intention was often, like, you know, conveying to others that they're rich and important.
Right.
And we see this in a lot of historical paintings just through, say, the way the fabric is painted to
right.
appear, like, you know, rich and luxurious and the angles on which people, from which people are painted and so on. So it's interesting that these things coming to you now have exactly the opposite effect of being like, oh, these were like real flesh and blood people who like loved one
right.
another and had normal kind of human concerns.
Right. I mean, I guess then by association, if we saw like a painting now of Donald Trump's children, it would be so hard to kind of see them other than as the kind of mythic figures they've become, even though, you know, let's say it were a family portrait, right? You know, Trump with his children, let's say just his youngest, because he's less in the public eye, and just sort of like, you know, it would just sort of be, oh, it's that whole Trump package, and it's not a father and son, you know, because I'm aware of them. I mean, these, you know, great business leaders of the 17th, 18th century, I, you know, what they did is not a part of my daily life. So I tend to just see them, oh, a father and son, you know.
So the kind of background information we have really affects what's salient to us about a work of art and
right.
like how we read it
Definitely.
And interpret it. In the Trump case, one thing that's really interesting is whether we want to humanize Trump. It's like, is that a thing that we want to be doing at this point? Like, who do we want to humanize and like why?
Right. Well, I guess I could say in contrast, there was a lot of discussion around the paintings that were done of Obama and Michelle Obama at the time. And I recently saw the Michelle Obama painting on a T-shirt of somebody I knew. And I think that, you know, I've seen those paintings, not in real life, just pictures of the paintings. And I think that what, I guess because they, and what they represented in the milestone of, you know, his election to that position, they were so human. You know, I mean, it was sort of like, oh my God, these are like regular people. Like, did we ever think we'd see regular people like this in the White House? You know, I mean, you think about Michelle Obama's father was, I think, he worked for the city, you know, and so I guess they started out as human, but yeah, Trump, eternal question. I know the media has been trying to figure out since the beginning if they're allowed to like neutralize him. And I mean, just like, is he a neutral image or is he just so fraught with the baggage? Yeah, I don't know if we can.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Caroline. I really enjoyed this.